8th grade United States History, April 14th through the 17th. Tuesday, April 14th. History Unit, Jacksonian Democracy. Lesson 1, The Nullification Crisis. Objective, be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Number 1. Explain the nullification crisis through the eyes of Andrew Jackson, John C. Calhoun, John Quincy Adams, Daniel Webster, and Robert Haney. Introduction to Lesson 1. After the War of 1812, one of the ways government sought to protect American manufacturing from foreign competition was through tariffs. Tariffs are taxes on important goods. The goal is making buying from another nation more expensive than buyers will want to buy American goods that are cheaper. In 1828, under President John Quincy Adams, Congress passed even higher tariffs than the first set of tariffs passed right after the way. Remember how a few weeks ago, southern states did not appreciate these tariffs because they were tariff-supported northern manufacturing while hurting the South's important habits. The South's dislike for tariffs does not go away. Many Southerners believed and voted for Andrew Jackson because he was, quote, the people's president, and would do all he can to convince Congress to repeal or remove the tariff of abomination. However, when Jackson did not make this an immediate priority, Southern threats of nullification and secession arose, much to the approval of Andrew Jackson's vice president, John C. Calhoun. South Carolina sought to nullify the tariffs. Remember, to nullify is to legally overturn federal laws deemed unconstitutional. The following lesson will have us look at multiple perspectives into this crisis, which will serve as a foreshadowing of the American Civil War. Plan of attack. A. United States History, Secondary Source, Khan Academy on the Tariff of Abomination. B. United States History Review Sheet, Khan Academy on the Tariff of Abomination. C. United States History Secondary Source, Khan Academy on the Nullification Crisis. D. United States History Review Sheet, Khan Academy on the Nullification Crisis. E. United States History Secondary Source, Mr. Myrano on the Webster-Haney Debate. F. United States History Review Sheet, Mr. Myrano on the Webster-Haney Debate. Turn to page 4. Secondary Source, a summary of tariff of abomination from Khan Academy. After the War of 1812, a series of tariffs, taxes on imported goods, was enacted. The purpose of these tariffs was to protect American manufacturing from low-priced British manufactured goods. Because the domestic manufacturing industry was still in its infancy, it could not compete with the low prices of British manufacturers. The first protective tariff was passed in 1816, followed by an increase in tariff rates in 1824. In 1828, during the presidency of John Quincy Adams, Congress passed legislation that included an even higher tariff designed to shelter the burgeoning American manufacturing industry from British competition. The tariff became known to its Southern opponents as the Tariff of Abominations. Tariffs heightened sectional tensions because they raised prices on manufactured goods, which benefited the domestic manufacturing industry in the North, but was bad for Southern slaveholders who had to pay higher prices for goods. Southerners also feared that foreign countries would enact higher tariffs on raw materials produced in the South. Moreover, because the British reduced their exports to the United States in response to the tariff, they had less money to pay for United States imports, especially cotton, from the South. As a result, the British imported less cotton, which further depressed the Southern economy. Review source. Summary of tariff of abomination from Khan Academy. Number 1. Quick note. Abomination means, quote, something that one detests, hates, or finds ugly. It may also mean something disgusting, evil, or vile. Number 2. What is a tariff? Number 3. Which region benefits from the tariff? Why? Number 4. Which region is hurt by the tariff? Why? Number 5. Why would Southerners call this tariff an abomination? Page 5. United States History, Secondary Source. The Khan Academy on the Nullification Crisis. Jackson's failure to address the tariff issue opened a rift between the president and vice president. Calhoun authored a pamphlet titled South Carolina Exposition and Protest, which was published anonymously and put forward the theory of nullification. The declaration of a federal law as null and void within state borders. He argued that since the authority of the federal government derived from the consent of the states, states could nullify any federal law they considered unconstitutional. Calhoun contended that the United States Constitution authorized tariffs only for the purpose of raising revenue, and not for the purpose of discouraging foreign competition. The theory of nullification, in maintaining that South Carolina could refuse to enforce a federal law, ushered in a constitutional crisis. The nullification crisis. Calhoun's pamphlet sparked a national debate over the doctrine of nullification and its constitutionality. Former President John Quincy Adams was one of the leading voices opposing Calhoun and nullification. He argued that it was the Supreme Court, not the states, that had the ultimate authority to declare federal legislation unconstitutional. And although Jackson was sympathetic to Southerners who complained that protective tariffs damaged their interests, he refused to countenance threats of nullification. Jackson supported states' rights, but viewed nullification as a prelude to secession, and he vehemently opposed any measure that could potentially break up the Union. In July 1832, in an effort to compromise, he signed a new tariff bill that lowered most import duties to their 1816 levels. This compromise measure failed to satisfy Southern radicals who wished to see the tariff repealed. And in November 1832, a convention of Southern politicians and proponents of states' rights met to discuss nullification. The convention declared the tariffs of 1828 and 1832 unconstitutional and therefore unenforceable in the state of North Carolina. The delegates to the convention threatened to secede if the federal government forcibly sought to collect import duties. President Jackson again sought to compromise. In March 1833, he signed a new tariff bill that lowered tariffs even further, thereby appeasing the South. But he also signed the Force Bill, which authorized the compulsory, or forced, collection of import duties from the South, by force of arms if necessary. It was a signal to Southerners that threats of nullification and secession would not be tolerated. Though this effectively brought the constitutional crisis to an end, it did not forestall the eventual outbreak of civil war. Southern planters and slaveholders would continue to use the doctrine of states' rights to protect the institution of slavery, and the nullification crisis set an important precedent. For some Southern radicals, the tariff issue had been a mere pretext for the threat of secession. These radicals continued to view the federal government with intense suspicion and threatened to secede every time a federal policy or law was perceived as antagonistic to the interests of the slaveholding South. Questions. page 6. United States History Review Sheet. Khan Academy on the Nullification Crisis. Directions. Answer questions using secondary source Khan Academy on the Nullification Crisis. Number 1. What does it mean to nullify a federal law? Number 2. What pamphlet did Vice President John C. Calhoun write and publish anonymously? Did this paper support a state's right to nullify federal laws? Number 3. Why does John C. Calhoun support state nullification of federal law? Number 4. What did former President John Quincy Adams argue about state nullification of federal law? Number 5. Did President Jackson agree with his vice president? What evidence is there to support your claim? Number 6. How is nullification a kind of stepping stone that could lead to secession? Number 7. What compromise did Jackson do for the southern states? Number 8. What was the goal of Jackson's force bill? What did this force bill signal to southern states? Number 9. In the end, did southern states trust Jackson and the federal government? What evidence supports your claim? There's a Khan Academy challenge for this material on page 7. This concludes the material for Tuesday, April 14th.